last night because of a slight injury. If that slight injury turns into a tear or for whatever reason that shouldn't happen worsens, that could potentially put Joel Embiid out of the race.
Yeah.
Would he be out of the race?
I don't think he'll be out of the race.
He has a smaller chance that if he's not playing, if he's injured.
Well, bearing in mind, Joel Embiid is in the race right now pretty firmly, and he's played less games than LeBron James.
Truth. Yeah.
Has he played less games than LeBron?
He's played less games than LeBron.
Okay, wow. But anyway, let's kick off. Are we doing the Joe Budden intro, or is Marley Marl, or...
I don't know who we are.
Yeah? Okay. You guys did your promotions. So, welcome to the GMP podcast. Sat here again with Del. Got Wale.
Did I get a nickname?
No intro. And then Cal. You've never told us your nickname. What's the Scott?
I don't know. I've got a nickname throughout my time.
Okay.
When I lived in America, I was 7 foot Scotty. When I'm in Germany, people can't say Callum, so I get called Cal or C. Yeah, but be free with it.
Okay. Well,
try Cal's got less syllables.
Yeah, Cal just seems a bit easier. And Wale, to be honest, Wale just seems a bit easier than Nathan as well. But anyway, how are you guys doing?
Why are you called Dell? Because you run slower than an apple.
Oh, that was really bad.
Only Fools and Horses joke.
Exactly. So I don't know if you ever watched Only Fools and Horses, but for some reason, Dell Boy has always been short for Derek. I don't know why. I don't know where it came from, but. So yeah, so Del.
From like my dad's Sunday morning or Saturday morning television. So
you don't know about Only Fools and Horses.
You know what I mean, like.
What the yellow whip with the three wheels?
Hey, the banger.
The two Ronnies, Only Fools and Horses, Father Ted, all that type of shit. I've grown up with my dad, like watching, like when I'm waking up on a weekend. Like that's not something I've ever like watched. Like Black Books with Bill Bailey.
What did you watch then? Did you watch Home and Away?
Neighbours.
Neighbours was probably my grand watch. That's okay.
Oh my days, our childhoods are so different.
Did you watch Columbo?
No, that's before my time. But that was a nickname when I was in school. My guitar teacher used to call me Columbo.
That's what did you watch? One.
What did I watch when I was a kid? High School Musical?
No like, way.
That's all Raven. Yeah, that was probably about the same time period when these things were on.
That's Disney Channel.
The High School Musical's like, wait, how old are you? You're 27, no?
No, I'm 26.
Okay. You know what? That makes sense because my sister is, 24? And she used to bang out High School Musical.
Yeah, like the first High School Musical I was in, like, I appreciated. The second High School Musical, I was already too old for it.
That was Callum's introduction to basketball.
I'm telling you.
Like Efron posters up on your wall, yeah.
Like Efron with the fundamentals.
Then do you remember Jump It or Push It or whatever it was called? That the cartoon did.
Nah, bro.
That was also a mad film. Disney was really mad though. That's So Raven, Lizzie McGuire.
Cheetah Girls.
Don't know what that is, another one.
So what is it? So when we do the basketball films episode, is High School Musical a qualifier?
That's super into it, but definitely has to be brought up into the conversation.
Yeah, for sure. There's better basketball movies, you know. No, High School Musical definitely counts.
I like a classic basketball movie that has a story to it, like. For instance, White Boy Can't Jump is not up there for me.
What?
I would rather have Glory Road or Coach Carter. They're both above White Boy Can't Jump for me.
Is that because you take that one personally?
Oh, you can come back to this.
Yeah, I can jump higher than both of you. So I'm not worried about that.
Well, we'll do this when we've got the mics.
All right. But so going back to what we were talking about before about injuries. So it does look a bit... Like every time I'm switching on to a game, I feel a little bit disappointed because I don't think there's been any big head-to-heads where, like, you've actually seen an actual team play. Like, the Bucks just blew out Philly, but they didn't have Embiid and Ben Simmons. And then they beat them on Wednesday as well, but they didn't have Simmons in that game. So it's hard for you to even really say, the Bucks are definitely better than Philly because we haven't actually seen the Bucks versus Philly. And yeah, it just feels like, yeah, it's taken a bit of a shine away from some of the games.
I think you actually had a very valid point there. Like when you tune into a game, it's no longer saying, this is your starting five, this is the head-to-head. It's saying, this is who's not playing today, so this is who's replacing them. It was like, was it Marcus Smart that replaced Ben Simmons or something like that?
No, you had, so for Philly, to be fair, Philly had, they just got signed George Hill, and then they've got Shake Milton.
Yep.
So they've got a couple of point guards who can replace him a bit.
Tyrese Maxey.
Maxey's a baller.
Well, my general point being is you're finding out who the sixth man is and who of the starting five is injured before the game even starts. Mm. Like the introduction to the game now.
Mm. Well, it could be the good thing I'd say maybe is you get to see some players get to play more and you get to see who's playoff ready. So like with the Lakers, you can see now, even without LeBron and AD, they're still the number one defense in the league.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing Frank Vogel can now also see, all right, this guy, I can put him in the playoffs and he'll be okay. And this, and who's not going to make it. So it could be good in some ways. Same thing with Brooklyn. But as a fan, it's not great.
Yeah, it's really annoying, actually. And the NBA seems to be like trying to brush it under the rug. It's in like, yeah, I mean, it's actually a normal or slightly under average season in terms of injuries. But at the end of the day, like, fans, consumers, like, we know what we're seeing, you know. Like, we know all the big guys are going out injured every week, pretty much, for long periods of time. And, yeah, it just makes this whole season seem a bit less genuine to me.
But it's also interesting that, like, so we're talking about MVP before, and what a lot of people are thinking about with MVP is availability. Like, it sounds like that's going to be one of the big criteria as to who actually wins the MVP race, is who was actually able to play the most games, pretty much, which is a weird place to be.
This is where I feel like Jokic is maybe cheating a bit.
Have you watched Jokic play recently?
Yeah, he's like, I love Jokic, innit? But like, I think I can compare him to like a glacier playing basketball. You know what I mean? Like an ice glacier.
And if you could beat him one-on-one?
Never. You dumb. Bro, I saw a Draymond Green interview when he was talking about like playing against Jokic, and he fully described that moment. Like, Jokic will just do like a little fake fadeaway over the top, and he fully described how deflating that moment is because it's so annoying.
You can't
do anything. He's trying to guard an iceberg. And for that reason, he'll just like never get injured. My guy never stretches.
Hey, you've done like five dunks this year.
He's so nimble. He's just like, so he's got so much size, but he's so nimble. He can get to where he needs to be without really stretching. You know what I mean? He can make the passes. He gets into his spots. He can get high usage because he's not really such an high intensity kind of player. He's just really kind of unbeatable. And in this sort of season where like, yeah, the minutes really are counting because like, all the big guys are out and like they're going to be watching you. He's really got an advantage there because he's playing the most and he's playing the best, given that ratio.
So, yeah.
Besides Russell Westbrook.
Do you want to jump into it straight away?
Hey, it's you. It's you that's got to jump in.
Put the music on.
Okay. So, look, yeah. I was thinking about my past statements and I think I've made... Firstly, I think I should take a little bit of credit for the fact that I'm not a fence sitter, like certain guys on the podcast. Certain people on the podcast, when you push them to have an opinion, they sit on the fence and don't try to put themselves out there. Huh?
Callum, he's taking shots.
I'm taking shots at certain guys. Yeah. Certain guys who are from a Western African country. But let's not name names. So,
it's
Nigerian. But yeah, so the two things I think I've said in the pod, which haven't aged well. Firstly, Anthony Edwards, I didn't rate as highly as he was going to be. This guy's I actually have been really pleasantly surprised about what he's been doing. So revise my opinion on him slightly. And then when I said that Houston won the trade between Russell Westbrook and Wizards, that was a bad take. But in saying that, so I will accept that was a bad take. But in saying that, I don't take away what I'm saying about Westbrook. My point with Westbrook is that he's not that he's a bad player. I'm not saying that the guy isn't good and able to get stats up and able to do a decent job on most teams. I'm saying that his ceiling isn't very high. And that's not a bad thing. That's not to say that he's worthless, but it goes to the point when I was saying that he's maybe his salary or what he's being paid is clouding away from what maybe is still him doing a decent job. I don't think that he's a $40 million a year player. And if we go on to, I don't know, do you want me to go through my 20 players that I think are better than Westbrook now?
Yeah, with
put the music on.
I can't put the music on now. I'll edit it in, obviously. Okay. So, players that are above Westbrook. So we've got the top tier. Yeah.
Wait, okay, can we clarify? Just prior to you going into this, better than Russell Westbrook, at what period, where, what attributes, so on and so forth. So people have understanding.
Perfect. No, that's a good thing to say. So disclaimer, this isn't about somebody's history. Or saying this is in terms of this person's whole CV, they are the best, they're better than Russell Westbrook. I'm not talking about athleticism. What I'm talking about is if I was to start a team, who would I go for? And when I'm thinking about who I'm going for, it's who do I think is going to take me the furthest in terms of getting me to potentially a final or whatever.
So LeBron would be the ideal example.
Exactly. All okay. Right. So I'm going. So you've got your top tier.
Getting you to the ring. So
say again.
So in terms of getting you to the ring.
I'm saying
because I mean that's a bit, you know, because I mean the only player you could say outright is going to really push you towards the ring. I would say is LeBron, KD, Kawhi, and Steph. I mean, those are only three players you can say, yo, if you slot into like any team, they're going to get you a championship or they're going to get you to the ring.
We're not saying the 20 players that are going to guarantee you a championship. It's 20 players that I think will push my team further than Russell Westbrook.
Bearing in mind, Russell Westbrook has got to, I think his furthest is, what, second, third round?
So Russell Westbrook's got to the conference finals before, multiple times. So, yeah, but this was in 2010, 2011, and like 2014. But anyway, so the first, the sort of top tier of guys, you've got LeBron, Steph, Kawhi, AD, KD. Any arguments there? Okay.
So Next tier,
Giannis, Luka, Embiid, Jokic, Harden. Any arguments there?
No, I mean, we're going to let you finish. Repeat that again. Giannis.
Luka, Embiid, Jokic, Harden. Yeah. Okay. So then, Jason Tatum, Simmons, Kyrie Irving, Chris Paul, Devin Booker. Paul George, Karl-Anthony Towns, Klay Thompson, Jamal Murray, and Donovan Mitchell. And then let's add in some notable things that I've missed out as well, who probably should fall in there. Bam Adebayo, Jimmy Butler. I didn't put Jaylen Brown in there, but he could be.
I would rearrange it and I'd put like Jimmy
Butler and Bam Adebayo. No, I know. But this is not my official top 20 list, right? Like, I was even reading and thinking, why is Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo? this is not my official top 20 list. This is just an example of who is better than Russell Westbrook.
Okay. Yo, Kevin, you want to go first?
Yeah, from the initial 20, you might need to help me with the names because I didn't write them down. But from the initial 20, I disagree on 6 specific names, including your Ben Simmons, your Jason Tatum, your Donovan Mitchell, Karl-Anthony Towns. I can't remember other 2 names, but in my personal opinion, I do believe that Westbrook for the description of this top 20 beats those guys.
I think.
So I didn't put Jaylen Brown in there firstly. Jaylen Brown was in top 20.
That's an honorable mention, though. So
yeah. He said,
I mean, no, we said, Towns, Jamal Murray,
Donovan Jamal Mitchell. Murray, yeah, agreed.
Giannis.
And yeah. Okay, no.
Giannis.
Aiden, Devin Booker.
Devin Booker was also there. Yeah, I agree.
Wait. So you think, so you would rather have Westbrook than Embiid?
Yo.
I'm going to cut down the whole podcast. What the hell are you talking about? You are.
Bearing in mind, you say these guys, they're all great players. I'm not saying.
Also, I'm taking into account age, right? Like, thinking about the next 2 years.
You put Harden in there.
Yeah, I'm talking about the next. Westbrook to me.
Yeah, this off season, Harden's not making it through. He's spending the whole off season. You saw how he came back last year. The metabolism isn't working in his favor anymore. He's going to take a couple weeks off, and then he's going to come back.
If we're talking about things today, I even put Julius Randle in there as well.
Okay, I mean, I'm not going to disagree with your list anyway, to be honest. I think most of them are, like, obviously, like, probably, arguably, most of them top 20, top 30 NBA players. Given in mind, there are a lot of very good NBA players. But I think it's a bit disingenuous to rate some of these guys above Russell Westbrook, given his current stat line, how he's carrying his team, and what he's done in the past.
So the reason why I... Firstly, again, disclaimer, just because I'm saying that somebody's not at like the upper echelon doesn't mean that I'm saying that somebody's shit. So that's first thing. I feel like Wale, when you hear somebody saying, oh, you know what? Maybe this guy's better than Devin Booker. You're like, you're disrespecting Devin Booker. How dare you?
Yeah, my guy. Like, it's true.
It's an opinion.
It kind of is. You kind of are just being disrespectful in some cases.
How is that being disrespectful?
A man putting LaMelo Ball over Devin Booker is disrespectful.
But
that's a different argument. I'm not saying you're saying Westbrook is shit, though you have maybe insinuated this in the past.
Is that he is not in the top 20 to 25, 30 players in the NBA.
Okay, taking it to 25, 30 is a stretch.
Bear in mind, you didn't even mention Dame Lillard.
Exactly, but this is you're making my argument for me.
I know, but it just feels like you're again saying there's 30 players better than Russell Westbrook in the league.
No,
you didn't even mention Bradley Beal, and I know you wanted to.
You guys asked for a list of 20 players that are better than Russell Westbrook. I haven't done like my 20 best players in the NBA.
I think you said I'll make a list. We can play it back.
No, I said he's not top 20, and someone said, okay, tell me. Here's the 20 that I've just come off with at the top of my head, and I haven't included Dame Lillard. I haven't included CJ McCollum. Like, there's still more players that could be in here that I've maybe not even thought about.
All the players you mentioned are also on vastly better teams than Russell Westbrook.
Russell Westbrook's playoff record since 2015, when KD left, is essentially going out in the first round in a clean sweep, going out in the first round, going out in the second round, going out in the first round. And this is with OKC and the Rockets. So I'm looking at...
What teams was he playing on? The Rockets was terrible, and OKC teams.
So he had Paul George, didn't he? Didn't he have Carmelo?
That wasn't a good team. Melo was still trying to be Melo. Paul George was all right, actually.
So now...
He did Paul George stuff in the
Paul George is on your list?
Wait. He is there. But, like, I've just put a list in the chat as well. But, like, so you're saying he's always had rubbish teams, but he had Paul George on his team. He had Carmelo, one of the greatest scorers.
Melo was a bigger issue than
So now you're going to bring excuses.
Not even excuses, though. He didn't have great teams.
So KD, since 2010, has pretty much been, every time that he's been fit, has played in the NBA finals every single time, right? And with OKC, they got to the finals like 3 out of 4 years. Not the finals, the conference finals. KD's at least got to the conference finals. Russell Westbrook, since KD left, hasn't even looked like being there at any team that he's been on. And it's not going to happen at Washington either. And that's not, and the Washington situation may not all be his fault, but it's not going to happen there. Like, they just don't, they don't have the cap space. They don't have any picks. So this is the Washington team that he's stuck with. So Russell Westbrook, realistically, will not see an NBA Finals for a minute. So I'm saying, although he's a decent player,
give the man a couple months and we'll see.
Okay.
Of course.
Okay.
You think Jamal Murray and Donovan Mitchell and Jason Tatum?
I would take them today.
And Devin Booker are going to get to a final before.
I would take them today over Russell Westbrook. If we ask this question in 2015, of course it will be a different answer. But today, in 2021, I will take all of those guys over him.
Would you also say these guys are objectively better players than Russell Westbrook?
Not objectively, in my opinion. In my opinion, I'll take them.
Okay, well, I mean, we can leave it there. I mean, you've obviously got a list of 30 players here who you believe are better than Russell Westbrook. I feel like Russell Westbrook is at least performing to the level or above that of certain players here, given his circumstances. He's performing to a higher level than Karl Anthony Towns.
And actually,
level than Jaylen Brown, Jamal Murray, Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, I think me and you are one in the same in that, Nathan. I think the players that we're picking out of that list are the same. So I think we put Russell Westbrook within the top 15 to 18 players in the league.
Bearing in mind, James Harden has only Harden's only really got a chance to get into the finals now because he's jumped ship to KD and Kyrie.
So
which is like, if Russell Westbrook did the same thing, he'd also have a decent chance to get into the finals. You know what I mean?
So Russell Westbrook kind of did try to do the same thing and he didn't. So went to
It didn't work out with Harden. But if we want to see KD and Kyrie, then I think it'll work out fine.
Okay, so let's look at the list again, right? So we said the top 10 wasn't really disputable. Kawhi, AD, KD, Giannis, Luka, Embiid, Jokic, Harden. That's not really disputable, no?
That's not disputable, agreed.
Okay, Kyrie.
Bear in mind, Giannis has done nothing in the playoffs.
Is Kyrie disputable? I'm talking about today.
Right? Yeah, that's fine. Kyrie is not disputable for me.
Okay. Is Chris Paul disputable?
I would say same level.
Yeah, so I can put Chris Paul in there or not.
Chris Paul took the Rockets to the Western Conference Finals twice.
Westbrook
on the same team didn't get past the
second round. He's not as likely to win you to a ring as to lead you to a ring as Westbrook.
Chris Paul is a better
player. And he was also on better teams for the majority of his time.
Wait, is Chris Paul not a better player than Russell Westbrook?
Yeah, I know, but I'd probably have Chris Paul.
That's the point.
As a point guard, I don't even know, actually.
Okay, look, we're going to get caught in like going around in circles because they're like.
That's an interesting argument because I think Russell Westbrook could potentially finish as an all time top five point guard, especially if he finishes with a triple double stat line.
Of course. But
I don't know if I understand.
Who would you rather have in your team, Chris Paul or Russell Westbrook? And we're not talking about who do you want to watch doing grimaces at the camera and like doing strongman.
I would agree that Chris Paul is probably a better point guard to have in the sense of he can make other players look better. So I would probably go Chris Paul for that.
But Chris Paul's not going to get you 20 rebounds in a game.
Yeah, but he's going to be able to. How many assists?
Sorry.
How many assists?
Like, look, let's not argue because that's not if we're gonna argue about Chris Paul and Russell Westbrook and say Russell Westbrook is better than
I don't know. When you're in the future, like, and you look back at this period of time, and you got your kids and like your kids' kids, and then look back at this little generation era of basketball, which is pretty much the golden age for like point guards, really. Yeah, I think so.
It's not a bad argument to make.
But I don't think we've ever had as good a set of point guards in the league as there is right now.
Actually, something that did come up this week, which was interesting, was KD on a podcast basically named his top five players that he played with. And guess who he left out?
He put Westbrook back in afterwards.
But who's in his at top of the mind, the person that he's played with for the longest, he didn't even he thought not Russell Westbrook. He even thought, okay, OKC. Who at OKC did I like playing with? And this guy went to Serge Ibaka.
Yeah, I know, but he also then went back a second later to put Russell Westbrook
in. But he got corrected and he knew what was about to happen.
Bro, he might have done it on purpose. KD is an inflammatory guy.
Look, yeah, if KD is naming his top five and he puts Serge Ibaka over Russell Westbrook in his mind, that to me is already, you already have your case there. Like,
well, I think that's a bit of a shaky case because if you're in Twitter, you see KD says a lot of shit, bro. KD be on like Twitter live rooms, like just saying all sorts. All sorts. He literally might have just slipped his mind.
KD, the options for him, the options for Rick for KD of who he could say are his favorite teammates or the best people that he's played with isn't super vast, right? He's played on the Warriors, so obviously Steph and Clay fall in there. He's playing on the Nets. But then OKC, the first thing that should have come to your mind is Russell Westbrook. And for some reason, it didn't. So I don't know.
Well, first for me, would he be in your mind? If you made that list, would Russell Westbrook not be on it?
If I made a list of what?
Best players KD has played with.
In my opinion, yeah. In my opinion, he should have been there.
99.9% of any basketball fan, Westbrook would be in the top five people that KD has played with.
In my opinion, yeah.
Let's just assume that like he's maybe trying to be a bit of a dick or he just forgot. Because it's not even debatable. We're not putting Serge Ibaka over Russell Westbrook, even as good as Serge Ibaka is. And I'm pretty sure Serge Ibaka is really good friends with KD as well.
Was Ray Allen on the list?
No.
Did they not play together for a year?
No.
Ray Allen wouldn't be on the list anyway.
Uh-huh. Well, let's move on. I feel like we've had enough Westbrook chat off for the past 2 weeks.
He said Rudy Gobert is better than Russell Westbrook.
Huh? I would rather have him on my team personally, but anyway. Anyway, so what else happened this week outside of Russell Westbrook? AD came back. Has anyone had a chance to watch him?
Yeah, he went from 17 minutes to 25 minutes allowance.
And then he did all right as well. You got
17 points in the 25 minute allowance, so I think that speaks numbers.
Lost to the Mavs.
Yeah, but then again, you don't like, as I mentioned, like off recording, Luka's killing it. You know what I mean? Like,
yes, yes. Is Luka in the MVP conversation?
He should be.
I don't know. It's a bit harsh. I think it goes to, we wanted to talk about narratives before, and Luka's narrative has messed him up a little bit because everybody expected him to be far and away MVP, like in the MVP race. And because he started off slowly, nobody's really thinking about him, but he's still doing bits. I guess it's just not that he hasn't had a jump from last season to this season that people expected. Yeah, he's still on my. I still would put him on my ballot if I had a chance. But I wouldn't be upset. I wouldn't be like looking at anyone sideways if they didn't.
Yeah, I think it wouldn't be a surprise vote. But then again, I don't think it would be surprising if he wasn't. He's not in the same situation as LeBron, where you expect LeBron to be in it, and if he's not, then it's a surprise.
Also, I don't think the Mavs have really been that good. And I don't think they're really considered to be any sort of playoff threat, realistically. So I think that really affects how people look at it. I mean, also, on a game-by-game basis, like, he'd be whining a lot, complaining a lot, bringing some of that Real Madrid vibe to the NBA. And it's a bit annoying to watch. Why lie? He thinks he's LeBron.
Yeah, he does. He does complain a lot. And apparently they complained about... He complained about the 7 seed being a playing seat position now. So he just seems like, I don't know. He's weird because for someone who complains a lot, when it comes to the big moments, he always shows up.
He's got the ball in his hands, like Russell Westbrook.
He's an NBA Karen.
NBA Karen. I'm not sure. Maybe. Man. Would I rather have the ball in Doncic's hands or Westbrook's hands in the final 20 seconds?
What clutch Westbrook?
Him and Colin Sexton. That's
a record right now.
I know. Colin Sexton's up there as well, catching him up. I know.
Yeah, bro. Important. Important.
Yeah, I know. Colin Sexton's there as well. I know.
Like Colin Sexton? You don't rate Colin Sexton?
No, I rate them both. I didn't say anything. I just said
Colin Sexton like he's in the conversation.
Colin Sexton was in that clutch list as well, you know. So I just
first year barometer, but yeah, I mean, right now Luka's probably one of. I'd probably give the ball to Luka simply because he can shoot better and he's he's less likely to try and force the issue compared to Luka. He's probably more capable in those circumstances.
And it's also experience. He has more experience in those clutch areas. And I think that plays a big part of
the game. That also plays a big part. But Westbrook has a limited kind of a weaponry, you know, compared to Luka.
Yeah, if you see Westbrook in the last 5 seconds and
you know what he's going to do for it.
And you know that he's going to take a shot. If we lose because of Russell Westbrook scored a three-pointer, a contested three-pointer on us, I'll take that. Like, you know what? The gods weren't with us today.
But Luka's more likely to pull some man out of the bag. So, yeah, we'll go Luka. I mean, Luka's obviously a better player than Russell Westbrook right now with a bright future. But Westbrook's top five at the end of the day.
Okay. Of course.
Five point guards at the end of his career. Let's just leave it there. It's not easy to average triple-double.
It's not.
At all.
It's not. Cool. And then what? Yeah. So I saw the little Zion advert for his shoes.
Have you seen the actual shoes?
I actually like them. Like, I actually think they're all right.
For a Jordan performance silhouette, I think they were decent. You know, a lot of the performance Jordan retros, don't get me wrong, are like arguably the best series of shoes in the world. We touched on it briefly yesterday. Jordan 1 through effectively the first five fucking have set the bar for sneaker culture. But the Jordan performance side of things has never been the best. Blake Griffin had a decent Jordan performance shoe. Other than that, none really come to mind. The Westbrook, Jordan performance shoe, I'm really not a fan of. It's too awkward. The Zion one looks like a standard basketball shoe, which works. It works. They managed to incorporate the Z, like fucking Zorro, into the side of the shoe. I think it comes in four initial colorways. And yeah, I think it works as a performance shoe. And I think it'll sell because Zion could probably sell it.
I was a bit disappointed. Yeah, I was actually relatively disappointed. I saw them, they look kind of like shoes that Zion Williams should be wearing.
The problem with Jordan performance is that they try to do too much too often.
Yeah, but they're a signature shoe. You know what I mean? I looked at them, the materials weren't even that nice. The sole was super nice.
Look at someone we'll come on to a little bit later, but look at the first Adidas Kobe. It's literally there's literally nothing on the shoe. It's literally got three stripes on it and that's it. You know what I mean? For your first signature shoe, I think to have a standard product where a consumer actually gets to know the technology, the athlete, whatever, I think it's a great baseline and it can only kind of be improved on, you know? If he came all out and said, yo, we're doing a fucking Jordan 11 with new technology, we're going to make it super high with the Achilles support, we're going to have a neon green sole that glows in the fucking dark, no laces, just a zip, then people are going to be like, no, this is doing too much. You know, if you start standard, okay, we're doing a high top basketball shoe with ankle support and laces, we've got so much we can go on from there.
I hear that, but I still would prefer a big cool signature shoe. Like we saw Giannis just recently. You look at that and you're like, oh, that's a cool shoe. And that was his first signature model. Same with the Kyries, same with the KDs.
But they're all one and the same pretty much. Like if you look at the Kyrie, KD, and Giannis, and the Paul George, those four silhouettes are just the same shoe with a different Nike tech positioning, give or take. Kyrie has a strap on it, Giannis has a slightly bigger tech.
No. They all fit a bit different. They all, I mean, they, I understand, like, they have
But the Zion shoe, in comparison to those four, is a completely different silhouette.
Because he's fat.
Oh, hater. Wow. No fat shaming on the pod.
Oh, I mean, it's just true. Like, he needs a different type of shoe compared to all the athletes you mentioned. Like, he's very heavy.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not going to buy it. But, like, yeah. It's not.
I like it. I think. I've only just seen looked at the Giannis shoes. They're actually really nice.
I think the Giannis coming to America shoes fucking sick. From like my Scottish heart, it's like got a bunch of tartan on it. I think that's like a fucking sick shoe for like a Scottish basketball player to wear.
But he's got some really, I really like it. I think the Zion shoe, the way it's designed and the way they're using this Z, I feel like it gives them a lot of room to do a lot with.
Exactly.
They can definitely build on it.
I was kind of hoping for more of an announcement, you know.
Like, I also don't like the Kyrie shoe because of like the third eye on the strap. I'm like, ugh, it's very Kyrie.
I mean, you'll never actually roll your ankles on these Zions, to be honest.
I've seen roll their ankles in all sorts of shoes. Four tops, you name it. Fucking Timberlands.
But yeah, I mean, it's a nice shoe. It's not like one of the worst shoes I've seen. Personally, would have expected a bit more high end, maybe in terms of like materials and just outright like look. But performance wise, it looks like it'll do a job, as Callum said. And looks pretty secure.
Yeah.
Not my style, but like, man,
within a week or a month, there will be like his PE editions where there will be a new technology in them, or there will be a specific colorway that comes out. It's the same with everything. Kelly Oubre and Converse had like the water shoe, like all of that type of thing.
Misfit X Zion. Get the Misfit and X Zion and Zion collaboration.
Drop a human cum or something, that's the next thing they gotta do.
Yeah, wait a minute. Zion to the Knicks.
Yeah, Zion. So I you know what? I've just started to watch Zion. Like do interviews and just how he is. The guy is like the nicest guy in the world. He is gonna be super, super, super marketable. Like he's exactly like the good kid, super polite. Like I don't even think he swears. I can imagine he's one of those guys. Like, what the freak? I can't believe he did that to me.
Freak man.
Yeah.
He's never gonna get a tattoo.
Like he's just a nice guy, so he's gonna be super marketable. But going to the Knicks, New York, where they're just gonna be like, if he has like one poor stretch, people are gonna be booing him, telling him,
"Fuck you, Zion."
Yeah, who the fuck do you think you are? Like, Knicks and Philly fans are the worst fans. Like as soon as they start losing, they just get booed. But he seems to have his heart set on going to Madison Square Garden.
Hey, New York, New York.
I don't believe it, man. I'm not falling for it. Everyone's mad respectful about MSG and the Knicks because it's like such an institution, you know. But I don't think anyone really rates the Knicks right now.
if you said in 2015 that Kyrie, KD, and Harden would go to the Nets. Would you believe anyone that told you that?
No, but if you also told me they also chose to go to the Nets when the Knicks were available right there.
But my point is more the Nets built up their brand to look like, okay, we're actually a respectable basketball team over a 2-3 year period to the point where KD thought they were an option. And the Knicks, if Julius Randle can carry on for another couple more seasons, if Tom Thibodeau can get one or two more decent signings and they look like a respectable team in the playoffs, why wouldn't Zion go there?
There's always better options, usually. But I mean, to be honest, like if you can get the Knicks actually rolling and become like an actual team again and they can actually become mainstays when it comes to like the playoff running, which they obviously haven't been, then New York is obviously like the best market to be in for a basketball player.
New York, New York.
It's even New York or LA. But at the same time, I don't really see it happening. And I feel like he'd be mad cozy in New Orleans, man. That's just down there eating like gumbo. You know, I think he's cozy, man.
I don't see it. He'll be there for at least the next, 5 years? Because of like rookie contracts and extensions and all that stuff. So
I used to
go join Bronny James Jr. at the Lakers.
But yeah, it's obviously New York's always an interesting one because whenever they do anything, everybody talks about them. So even though they're just the Knicks, would you class them as average? They're like a little bit above average now, but everybody's talking about how amazing the Knicks are right now. They are probably maybe they're fifth now.
Yeah, I had a quick look last night at where everybody was placing because I know Bulls are fighting for a playoff spot or for a play-in spot.
This is another thing that pisses me off with, not to again bringing up Westbrook, but this is what pisses me off about the Bulls, because the reason why the Wizards are even having a chance is because the Bulls have been absolutely shocking since that trade. Like, they are, like, I think they've even got worse since the trade. Now, fair enough, Zach LaVine's injured, but yeah, if they traded first round picks to get themselves into 11th place, then
yeah.
Bad look.
Yeah.
It is pretty disgusting.
Those are garbage. I like Zach LaVine in it, but like he should have looked for a move.
I don't know if you could do that. They've literally traded their future so that they can build around Zach LaVine.
Yeah, I'm not sure Zach LaVine's just really the kind of guy he should be building around. I think he'd be a great third star on the Lakers. But if you're looking for him to take East, like, I don't know, the playoffs even. Not sure he's the guy. He needs a lot of help.
Yeah, agreed. But yeah. But the Bulls could be an option for Zion at some point if they actually get their ass in gear.
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
Anyone could be an option for Zion at some point. You know, I mean, anyone. We all want to see him at Golden State, to be honest. Steph Curry.
I
want to see him at the Wizards with Westbrook, you know?
CP3 Zion link up.
Nah, it needs to be LaMelo at the Warriors will be the best.
CP3 and Zion, you're getting 2011 Blake Griffin and Chris Paul. You know? That could bring back some memories right there.
But Zion's not going up for like those Blake Griffin type lobs these days. That's
the same about CP3. Blake Griffin wouldn't be the Blake Griffin we know without CP3.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like none of the highlights, bar a couple, the spin move, whatever. Like all of Blake Griffin's highlights, the high percentage from those seasons are because of Chris Paul.
I'm not sure.
There's madness going on that side.
Yeah. I'm not sure I completely agree with that.
I think Brandon Knight, the guy that got like crucified, that was a alley-oop from Chris Paul. You know what I mean? Mm. Blake Griffin put the ball in the basket, caught the ball in there, blah, blah. But the ball wouldn't be in there without Chris Paul putting it there.
True.
Yeah. Well, we have seen this replicated. I mean, if you got a decent playmaker, a decent point guard, sorry.
It doesn't have to be Chris Paul.
I mean, Chris Paul was like very good at it, and that was like Lob City for a reason. Like that whole kind of dynamic.
DeAndre Jordan was coming in clutch too.
Honestly, you gotta have like a certain kind of point guard to be able to pull those off consistently and effectively, because there's no point pulling it off if you're still losing like in other sorts of possessions. So CP3 is just the OG point guard. Like his bag is too deep. He's too deep. But obviously, no rings, as Derek and I would say. No rings.
When have I ever said that? Honestly, Nathan, you're one of those guys in the playground that you're like, what, bruv? Nah, what? He said that about you? Nah, bro, I wouldn't have that. I would not have that, bro. That's not a one. Nah. Literally, I was like, what? When did I say? Who said these words? Right. Are there any other topics that anyone wanted to bring up?
Who's your rookie of the year?
Either.
I would still say LaMelo. But Anthony Edwards is putting together a really good case right now. He's putting together a very good case.
Who do you rate higher, Russell Westbrook or Damian Lillard?
Lillard. Right now, today. So wait, if you ask 20 people who watch NBA who they would take, Damian Lillard or Russell Westbrook, you think that? You think that more than one person would say Russell Westbrook?
I would say it depends if you're an educated basketball fan or if you're a casual basketball fan.
Mm-hmm.
I would say the educated basketball fan.
Right ahead.
The casual.
Okay, do you know what? You guys are trying to poke the needle. I can see what you're doing, Wale.
I just asked why. And that'll be the TV.
I don't think that needs to be. There's no need to go into it. There's just like.
There isn't a good enough reason.
So, wait. Let me know. I'm not going to get dragged into this. You know, this like, man's been doing my meditation, man's been doing my breathing. Like, you're not gonna draw me out. I know what you're trying to do. You're not gonna draw me out.
What's Lillard's like best achievement? What, bubble MVP, Mickey Mouse MVP? Well, because he's in Portland, he can't get dragged out in the street. We'll drag him out by his leg, bro.
Just remember this slander that you're giving to Logo Lillard. Just remember it. It's fine.
That's all I'm asking, bro.
Oh man! All right. Well, I guess then we started on Westbrook and then somehow we ended on Westbrook. I think this is enough Westbrook for the next month.
Yeah, injured fucking dreaming. No,
he's gonna get 3 more triple doubles this week, and I'm gonna be back here next week.
Wait. Okay. Well,
they get to 10-0.
You know what the thing is, they might do because they're playing like the Cavs and the Thunder, and their schedule is ridiculously easy, so they could easily do it. I wouldn't be surprised at that.
What's easy though? You're saying easy now. It's the Washington Wizards. Are they higher in your esteem? Easy. Ooh, is it changing? Look, there he's fighting a losing fight. You guys, you gotta understand. Like, he's losing the battle within himself.
What are you talking about?
Don't worry. We'll come back to this at the end of the season.
What? Okay, all right, let's come back to this at the end of the season. I agree. All right, well, I think that was enough Westbrook with a few little NBA topics. This is the end of the Westbrook podcast.
Thanks for joining.
Catch you guys next week.